I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart Podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts or on the iHeart Radio app.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bazzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like David Duchovny, Jeff Goldblum, and Kristen Wiig.
We're doing all the dessert.
We'll just skip right to it.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bazzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. It's also Andrew Jackson's birthday today. Happy birthday. It's Caesar's death day today, as in Julius Caesar's death day. Maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit on the show. What else do we have on tap for this hour? Lying to Congress. Why is that allowed? NGOs, the Great Reset, illegals. Should we let some of them stay? There's so much to get to. I want to address this one, though, because the question was about the Great Reset and what effect it will have on our life. Here's how I understand the Great Reset. Here's what helped me understand it. I was trying to figure out what's the goal and whose goal is it? Who's doing this to us? So let's just lay it out this way. Western civilization is incredible. And it is something, because you're part of it, you should be proud of that. You should be proud of the fact that you have been part of Western civilization. For so much of the world's history, people have been ruled, for the majority of human history, people have been ruled, slaves, essentially, subjects. And eventually Western civilization blossomed, and this idea that man should be free started to really resonate. And it obviously started to resonate with the people. They were getting tired of the kings of old and the monarchies and the death and the war and the poverty, and they were starting to realize, wow, mankind should be free, and you have rights as an individual. You are not a subject. You know, it's wild. It's crazy for us, especially as Americans, to think how many people throughout history lived this existence where, let's say, you're at home, a wife, couple kids, and the king is riding through, and he pulls off to the side. And he looks and he says, you know, I like your home. In fact, I like your wife and kids too. So, hey, chop his head off real quick. He gets his head chopped off. And lady, you belong to me now. Oh, one of the kids is complaining. All right, kill him too. So now you, that's a crazy story. That's how most people have had to live. You're nothing compared to royalty. That is not wild to think. That's how people had to live their lives. And now we sit here in Western civilization where you have rights. You have rights. There are rules. There are things you can't do to me. That's a good thing, right? However, it's not a good thing if you see yourself as being that king. Yeah, life got better for you. Life got better for the masses, the normal people, the poor, the peasants, the middle class. Life got better for all of you, but the king, what if he wants your wife? What if he wants your kids? What if he wants your house? And now, because all these people in Western civilization have these rights, now he's severely restricted on what he can and can't do. But he's still a king, dang it. And that's how these people see themselves. They see themselves as kings and queens. So the elites of the world, especially, let's make this in the West. So leaders, political, business leaders, entertainment leaders, people in America, England, Germany, France, they're all doing it. Canada, they're all doing it right now. They've started to figure something out. They started to figure out that the kings and queens they want to be, that is a possibility for them if they would just get the stupid people in their country out of their way. You see, the elites eventually looked around and decided the problem isn't this foreign country or this or that. The problem is my own people thinking they have rights and trying to lay claim to these rights. So if we just start attacking that, figuring out a way to destroy these people, we will, in the end, be able to go back to the time where I was a king who could take your wife and your house. And so what they do now is try to destroy everything, mainly in an effort to destroy their domestic political opposition. And this is not only here in America, if you want to feel better about this, although it may make you feel worse. Talk to people in Germany. They're going through this as well. They feel like their leadership is hostile to them. Talk to people in Sweden, in France, in Canada. Gosh, they're really going through this in Canada. They feel like their leadership is hostile mainly to them because it is. Because the people who lead our nation now hate us. That's why they've slowly but surely turned the national security apparatus of America on their own citizens. They view you and me as being the problem. If you would just shut up about your rights and your guns and your, if you would stop having opinions that are not approved by the regime, if you would just shut up and go away, then they could finally fix everything and get back to being the kings and queens they've always wanted to be. That is how the leaders of the West now see themselves. And it's why we're in such a bad situation. So what the Great Reset is what they essentially want is another turning, another phase change on the planet. The planet has had several phase changes. Well, one of the last ones would be, you'd probably call it a 20th century thing, 19th and 20th century thing, really, where the kings and queens of old were finally cast off. No more dynasties, no more royal families, no more this, no more that. No, the people are going to choose for themselves the government. Well, what these people want now, what the elites of the world want now, from the big cheese in Germany to Bill Gates to all the George Soros, all these Klaus Schwab types, what they want now is to go back. They want to go back to a time when you are a subject, not a free citizen with rights. No. If you would just go back to being a subject, then everything will work out better for them, of course. Not for you, but remember, these are not people. At their core, part of the reason this whole thing is so evil is these are not people who are mindful of you. You know, a good leader, in any realm, a good leader of a home, of a business, of a sports team, of a country, a good leader is always mindful of the people he leads, always mindful of them and wants what's best for them. But these people don't have that because they're not good people. They're inherently evil, selfish people. So as we've discussed many times, we make it about Biden, but really it applies to so many of these people. It's not even just that they hate you. Oftentimes they don't ever think about you at all. That concept is as foreign to them as shellfish is to Chris. What, Chris? I was making a comparison. But no, you understand what I mean. They're never mindful of you. Remember that word I said, if you could describe the Biden administration with one word, the word you would use, we've done that before. What was that word? Cold. Just so cold. Remember when, it was just recently, remember when we had Corinne Diversity hire and she was asked about the tragedy and death and she gave an answer that was so bad she was just piled on by everybody, even people on the left. She sounded so uninformed and uninterested about the death or anything else. And we, you know, sacrifice, and we kind of, people sacrificed, and obviously we honor that. Someone died. I don't really know. They can't make themselves even appear to care now. So the Great Reset is them trying to destroy the free citizens of the West. So then they can control everything. And they do so many things in that effort. It's part of the appeal of illegals, remember. You fill up the country with illegals, you water down a culture so that our culture doesn't reflect American values anymore, that helps you destroy the country. Plus, the illegals gobble up all the goods and resources made for America. It collapses the system. The Great Reset is the elites trying to collapse the system. This is what people don't understand. It's not a byproduct of idiocy. Although many of these people are idiots, they want to bring it down. Remember, I've brought this up many times before. No one else talks about it, but it hit me so hard. You know the debt and the deficit situation, and you know how bad it is. I'm not going into that again right now. It's really bad, and the crisis is coming. It's inevitable, and it's coming very soon. And the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, just gave a speech on the Senate floor bragging that they didn't cut a nickel from the budget. He bragged about it. He should be up there bragging about everything they cut. He bragged that they didn't cut a nickel. Everything is full steam ahead with these people. That's the Great Reset, the destruction of the free citizen, so then these people can achieve total power, which, of course, is what they always want all the time. All right, let's talk about lying to Congress and NGOs and many other things. Before we get to that, obviously, crime is bad. You know this. You are well aware that our country is filling up quickly with criminals from all over the planet, and that's on top of the criminals we have here. Now, we can't sit at home and suck our thumbs. We have to simply take more ownership of our self-defense. That's what Byrna is all about. That's what a Byrna pistol launcher is all about. It is a non-lethal pistol you carry. It shoots pepper balls or tear gas balls. Those are really freaking cool, by the way. Or the kinetic rounds, which are just hard plastic. But it is a non-lethal component to your self-defense, and everyone needs one. Whether you're like me and you already carry a weapon, I want a non-lethal option, or whether you don't do that at all, Byrna is legal in all 50 states. No permits, no background checks needed. They'll mail one to your front door. This thing will save your life. 60-foot range on the kinetic rounds. I'm telling you, this thing is incredible. Go, because you can save some money right now. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. Go get one.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, whatever you want. If you missed any part of the show, download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Let's get back to the questions. Dear Jesse, Sensei of Burgers, let me get this straight. We build an offshore port for Hamas to supply them after they invade one of our closest allies? You are a history guru. When in history have we or any other countries supplied enemies in the middle of an ongoing conflict? This port is a massive betrayal to Israel and shows how upside down our foreign policy is now. He didn't say I can say his name, so I am not going to say his name. Listen, we don't have clear enemies anymore as a nation, because to have clear enemies, you have to stand for something yourself, right? That's how enemies work. If I have someone who I view them as an enemy, it's because they oppose the things I stand for. But if I don't stand for anything, I can never truly have an enemy. Let's go back to what we were just talking about the Great Reset and how the elites of the world have turned against their own citizens, because this actually plays a part into why our foreign policy looks so convoluted and insane, and we talk out of both sides of our mouths. Hey, we hate Russia, but we'll buy your gas. I love Ukraine. Let's get involved there. Hey, Israel, here's some missiles. Oh, Hamas, you'd like some supplies too. It looks all nutso to us. It looks so schizophrenic and all over the place. But the Great Reset talk actually explains it when you understand that the people running the foreign policy of America don't see foreign enemies, they only see domestic enemies, then you understand better why our foreign policy looks so nutso and so bad. They don't have foreign enemies in their minds. They have domestic enemies. A lot of this really started with Obama, but honestly, he's not the genesis of all of it. American foreign policy was going that way for a while. But remember, we'll talk about Obama here and make it more about him so it helps explain things. Remember how Obama, I'd never seen this before in my life. Not with Republicans, not with Democrats. Like Clinton didn't do this. You never saw this. Remember Obama would go overseas, because presidents have to do that from time to time. And at every single stop he made, he would make some sort of an apology statement about America. I mean, I know we've done a lot of bad things in the past. He would every time. You never saw that at a president's. And traditionally, American presidents have been over the top patriots when they go abroad. It was simply expected of an American president. When you go abroad, you brag about America. America is great and we'll be great together. And that's what American presidents, it's what was expected of them. And that's why it was such a big deal when Obama started this apology tour stuff. We'd never heard anything like that before. Hey, wait a minute. Why are you apologizing? What's your problem? Well, what his problem was, and this is obviously extended to the Democrat Party of today, it's the same party, for Obama, America was the bad guy. Always. Barack Obama was raised to hate America. His mentors, like Frank Marshall Davis. Frank Marshall Davis is Barack Obama's mentor. You understand that he was a card-carrying communist? And I mean, as in, he had a card and a communist number. Barack Obama was groomed to despise this country. The modern Democrat Party, they've been groomed to despise this country above all others. Above all others. As I've said before, I've made this comparison. If you were to hold a gun to the head of a modern day Democrat and you were to tell them they didn't have a choice. You absolutely have to drop a nuclear weapon on one country on this planet. Roughly 100% of modern day Democrats would drop it on the United States of America. They would. They have been taught that this country is the evil of the world. This country is the uniquely evil place that must be brought down. So how could you conduct a foreign policy on behalf of your country if you hate that country? Okay, we're going to have a big neighborhood celebration. And everybody in my neighborhood, everyone wants to be the one to host the big party. Big Easter party. That's the next party coming up. That's the next holiday coming up. A big Easter party. Everyone wants to be the one to host the Easter party in my neighborhood. Okay? I want us to host it. Except, I hate my house. My family sucks. And I don't want anyone to come over to my house. The house sucks and my family sucks and everything sucks. How could I go be an effective ambassador to the neighborhood selling the Kelly home on hosting the Easter party if I hate the home. I can't. It's not possible. We can't have a foreign policy that makes sense when our foreign policy is led by people who hate the country. Our State Department, all those dirty commies who run the State Department, all the subhuman commie filth that occupy the Biden White House, CIA, all these guys. You hold a gun to any one of these guys' heads and they'll tell you America is the height of all evil. So how's the dirty little commie at the State Department who hates America going to conduct foreign policy on behalf of America? It's not possible. That's why we do these insane things like, hey, Israel, here's some missiles. Hey, Hamas, here's some food. And everyone looks around and says, wait, what? Whose side are we on? Well, they're on their side and they're against you. That's the truth. Let's play this little tidbit again. This is the media celebrating the vice president visiting an abortion clinic.
It's so interesting because she gets so much anger towards her, so much press that's very kind of pejorative and a little bit mean and I think quite racist. And here she is out there. She has, you know, yesterday she did this historic thing where she went to a Planned Parenthood in Minnesota. It's the first time a president or vice president has ever gone to an abortion clinic, but it's also.
That's the evil we're up against. That's why we support preborn. It's not enough to just say we're against that. We have to do things that are against that. Preborn takes those young women and they give them free ultrasounds before they can harm their baby, saving the mother and the baby. Because once a mom hears a heartbeat, she chooses life almost every single time. That ultrasound costs $28. That's what preborn asks from you. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby or preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. If you follow me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lydie Hoyt, Allison Roman, and of course, Ina Garten and Martha Stewart. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste that comes out every Thursday, and it's serving up recipes that will make your mouth water. Think a candied bacon Bloody Mary, tacos with cabbage slaw, curry cauliflower with almonds and mint, and cherry slab pie with vanilla ice cream to top it all off. I mean, yum, I'm getting hungry. But if you're not sold yet, we also have kitchen tips like a foolproof way to grill the perfect burger and must-have products like the best cast iron skillet to feel like a chef in your own kitchen. All you need to do is sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
With the help of Stanford psychologist Jamil Zaki.
It's really tragic. If cynicism were a pill, it'd be a poison.
We'll see that our fellow humans, even those we disagree with, are more generous than we assume.
My assumption, my feeling, my hunch is that a lot of us are actually looking for a way to disagree and still be in relationships with each other.
All that on the Happiness Lab. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. It's your go-to spot for anything and everything sports. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, golf, college, whatever's hot in the street, we're talking about it on Wake and Jake. So if you're a diehard fan or looking for the latest buzz, we've got you covered. No matter your favorite sport, we're breaking it down with the passion that'll make you feel like you're in the stands with us. Plus, we've got a bunch of guests, Foolish Bailey, Jolly Olive, Chris Rose, and more. mock drafts, rankings, whatever you want. It's the sports world. And come on and join our friends in the Wake and Jake family. You will not regret it. So, new episodes Monday and Wednesday. You can watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen to Wake and Jake on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1982, Atari players had one thing on their minds: Sword Quest. This wasn't just a new game. Atari promised 150 grand in prizes to four finalists, but the prizes disappeared. And what started as a video game promotion became one of the most controversial moments in 80s pop culture.
I just don't believe they exist.
That would be my reaction, shock and awe.
That sword was amazing. It was so beautiful.
I'm Jamie Loftus. Join me this spring for The Legend of Sword Quest, a podcast about the fall of Atari and the disappearing Sword Quest prizes. We'll follow the quest for lost treasure across four decades.
It's almost like a metaphor for the industry and Atari itself in a way.
Listen to The Legend of Sword Quest on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Did you hear this girl? We've had her on the show once before. Yeonmi Park is her name. She, long-time listeners to the show will remember her. She escaped North Korea with her mother, and her story is, it's awesome, but it's hard to hear. It's hard to imagine how many people go through a living hell like that. It was not a pleasant escape for her and her mother. I think she was 13 or 14 when she escaped, and she was actually caught in China, not by nice people who sold her into slavery. Is a really, really, really hard story. But you remember how often we talk about communism being a religion? Your liberal Aunt Peggy is not a Democrat. She's a religious zealot. She has more similarities to a radical Islamic jihadist than an actual political person. She is a religious zealot. You'll understand her better when you accept she's a religious zealot. Well, I want you to listen to this girl, Yeonmi Park, talk about that.
No true religion in North Korea. Why does communists, first thing they do is kill the religion? Because the state has to become religion themselves. They have to be God themselves. So what North Korea did unique was that Kim Il-sung, who grew up in a Christian family, he realized he wanted to be a God. So he got rid of Christianity. And he made himself God, and he copied the Bible, made the Ten Commandments for North Korean people to follow, and brainwashed to believe that he was God, who loved us so much, gave us his son Kim Jong-il. Kim Jong-il is like Jesus Christ. He dies, but his body is with us forever. His spirit is with us forever. That's how they know what we are thinking in our head. That's how they have the power to read our thoughts. So North Korean children grow up believing that Kims are gods. And that's what I thought at school every day. I was so grateful. I lived in socialist paradise.
Yeah. Religious. They are religious people. We must accept that. All right, let's move on and talk to other things. Jesse, I recently found a dime. She's not into politics at all, but her family is all blood red. And she assured me she will go to the polls with me every time to do the Lord's work. We've been dating for a couple months now, and I recently brought up the Civil War in conversation, and she didn't know what I was talking about. I confirmed tonight that she legitimately doesn't know or care about the American Civil War at all. I love how horrified you can already tell this guy is by this. He's just mortified. What do you mean you don't know about Stonewall Jackson? Anyway, he goes, should I be concerned? Part of me kind of likes that she doesn't have to worry or think about politics. She wants to be a mom and support her family. But I don't want my children to be confused. If you think I'm lying, I went to the first 2 years of the Civil War. I went into it and what led up to it and all the battles, and she had no idea what I was talking about. Is this a problem? He's so upset. Is this a deal breaker? I don't need my future wife to be Nostradamus, but I'd like her to at least understand where I'm coming from. He said his name is Tyler. Tyler. He said I can say his name. Listen, brother. You know what my wife knows about politics? Whatever I tell her. That's what my wife knows about politics. And she didn't, look, she grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh in the car with her father. So it's not like she's didn't already lean that way. But when we go home, I'll walk in the door and my boys, you know, I'm still blessed that my boys still want to talk to me. I'll walk in the door of the house and she'll run up and give me a kiss and, hey, I made dinner or whatever we're doing that night. But the boys will mob me right off the bat. And they'll start talking about, hey, what'd you talk about on your show? Hey, what's the news of the day? Hey, did you see what Joe Biden said? Jesse, did you see what, or Dad, did you see what happened in North Korea? What happened in Russia today? So immediately my boys will launch into the issues of the day. This is the issue of this. This is that, Dad. What did you talk about? What did you say about this? She generally will say, really? What happened there in Russia? I didn't hear anything. Like, I wasn't. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because she still votes every single time. In fact, she'll hound me if she go votes before me. She votes every single time. She asks me who she should vote for, and I lay it all out for her, and she does. If your dime isn't into the Civil War, it's really not a big deal. You found a dime who wants to care for you and care for your home and support you and love you and raise your children. If she's not all boned up on the first battle of Bull Run, I don't think it's the end of the world. I love, though, that it bothers you so much. My whole family. You want to hear something devastating? You ready for this? Oh, man, I can't believe I'm just telling on myself. I'm narking out my whole family right here. I can't believe I'm doing this on national radio. My family hates history. Did you know that? Now, it's not that they hate history stories as I tell them. If I get up and I tell a history story, if we're watching a movie and I want to add some perspective to it, I'll pause and I'll ask, hey, you want me to give you the background on this? And they listen and they love that when I'm telling a history story to them. But if my wife walks in and I'm watching a documentary, and oftentimes if I'm watching something, it's a documentary, the scorn she will pour down on me. You're such an old man. What a nerd. It's horrible. And you know what? That's just all right by me. Don't worry about that. All right. All right. Hey, Jesse, serious question. When did it become okay to lie to Congress? Everyone does it and there are no consequences. I love the show. It's actually a very good question. When did it be okay? Well, these things happen like most things happen in life. It starts slowly. And then eventually it builds to where it is. How many times have we talked about a mafia story or something like that, or some gangster, some cartel guy, and it starts out small? Every single time you read some old cartel story, some old Italian mafia story, and he didn't start out as some hitman shoving knives into people's ears. He started out swiping oranges on the sidewalk. Running with some other 9-year-olds who didn't want to go to school. Hey, we ditched math that day. You know, you want to, speaking of old, you want to hear me sound like the biggest fuddy-duddy in the world, the biggest old fuddy-duddy in the world? All those warnings we got from our parents and grandparents about slippery slopes and things like that. Yeah, those were all right. They were right about all of those things. It actually is a very big deal if you're a kid who skips a lot of school, because statistics say you're heading for a very, very, very bad place. It actually is a huge deal if when you're 12, you grab a Snickers bar out of the gas station and slip it in your pocket and shoplift. It actually is a very big deal because that's step one on the road to you killing someone in a bank robbery 10 years later. I know that sounds crazy, but you read story after story after story. How many dudes right now are listening to the sound of my voice in prison right now? We have a bunch of prisoners who listen to the show, state and federal prison, and I've always loved that. I think that's cool. How many dudes are listening to the sound of my voice right now, nodding their head as they sit in prison because that's their life's trajectory so far? So far, that's where their life has taken them. That landed them in an orange jumpsuit where they currently sit listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. They didn't start out robbing banks, assault this guy, this and that, dealing drugs. They didn't start out like that. It started small. And then you got away with it and enjoyed it. So you did it a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more. And that's how it always goes. It's how it always goes. The same thing applies to lying to Congress. We let one person get away with it. And then the next guy gets away with it. Okay, it was a little lie. And then the next guy gets away with it. Okay, it was a little lie. And now it's just what they all do. Whether or not they get prosecuted for those lies depends on whether a Democrat or Republican is in charge. Because Democrats will, of course, send them to prison for those lies. Republicans lack the stones to do that. So Republicans get lied to even more. All right. Let's talk about Europe. Some guy wants to know, is it better living there than here? That's interesting. Let's talk about that. Before we talk about that, let's do remember these are the people running the economy.
In 2021, you did say that inflation was transitory. Do you regret saying that now?
I regret saying it was transitory. It has come down, but I think transitory means a few weeks or months to most people.
Yeah, do you have any gold yet? We talked about the Great Reset already on the show and what they're doing and how they're attacking us. And part of that is attacking the money, making sure you are not financially able to exist on your own. That's why you need precious metals, because they can't destroy the value of that. Precious metals have stood the test of time. Your precious metals you buy from Oxford Gold Group today will have incredible value forever. Your children will spend them, or their children. Call 833-995-GOLD and let Oxford deliver you some. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, you can email the show during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I feel like I'm talking too fast a little bit today. Am I talking too fast, Chris? Chris, have I been talking too fast today? You know what it is? It's my T levels. I, once again, took my male vitality stack with breakfast. Ab woke up and made croissants. Look, we're going to get to Europe here in a moment, obviously. You know I speak European now. She made croissants. That's how you say that in German or whatever. She made croissants, and they were delicious. And I washed those down and my scrambled eggs down and my male vitality stacked down with a glass of orange juice. And now I'm all pumped up. Listen, gentlemen, you want to be full of energy at the end of the day? Have your mind working a mile a minute? Not ADHD like me, but just feeling better? Chalk.com, boys. Male vitality stacks for all of us. All natural herbal supplements. Chalk.com. Huge discounts on subscriptions, so don't pay full price like a chump. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. All right? This was an embarrassing moment.
Mr. Herr, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, and his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
Basically, everywhere. All right. Dear Balding Oracle, I just spent an extended period of time in Europe visiting five different countries. I know you were recently there as well. Is it no longer hearsay to say living in Europe is better than living in the United States? I love my state and my country, but it feels safer and more capitalistic in many parts of Europe than it does here. Curious what your take on life in America versus Europe is. Thanks. Okay. This is something, I'm not insulting this guy in particular, because this is something fairly universal, and I don't know when this became a thing or why this became a thing, but this is a thing with Americans who go to Europe. And I know it's a thing because I watched my own family do it when we went to Europe at Christmas time. Americans, when they go to Europe, they will see things that are different there. And honestly, some things are better there, and I'll be honest about that in a moment. But they begin to say things like, it's just better here. This is better here. It's better over here. This is better over here. And allow me to explain why you think that. And I'll acknowledge some things that they do pretty well over there, maybe better than us. But let me explain this. I want you to picture you're going to New York City. And you're going to New York City to live. You're going to go live in New York City. You're not visiting. You're going to live in New York City. And you make $100,000 a year. Obviously, that's great money normally, except in New York City, you will quickly find out that your $100,000 a year does not go very far. And so in New York City, your experience will be you will have an apartment. It will not be a nice apartment, and it will not be a big apartment. And because it's not very nice and not very big, you're going to have some ratty neighbors, maybe even a little bit of a dangerous neighborhood. You have to get to and from work every day. You can't really afford to cab it or Uber it, so you find yourself walking about 10 blocks every day. A lot of homelessness. It's getting loud. There was a crazy guy assaulting a woman on the subway this morning. You didn't feel safe. And this becomes your life in New York City. You rarely go out to eat. You don't have the money to do that. It's a lot of Kraft Mac and Top Ramen. Okay, so you have your picture of your mind. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. All right, so for you, the transplant to New York City, how has New York City been? What's the New York City experience been for you? Great. Not so much, right? Okay, now, set that aside. Let's set that aside. You are going to New York City. But hold up. You're not moving there or anything like that. You just won a trip to New York City. Airfare has already been covered. They are going to put you up in the nicest hotel in New York City. What's a nice hotel in New York? The Plaza. It's a famous one. It's the one from Home Alone. They're putting you up in the Plaza. I'm sure that's not the nicest one anymore. It doesn't matter. They're putting you up in the penthouse in the Plaza Hotel in New York City. And you will have what's a ridiculous amount of money? $5,000 a day over the extended weekend to go out and shop and buy food and eat steaks and go to do tourist stuff and whatnot. Okay, so you just did 3 days in New York City like that, and you're getting ready to fly back home. What's your impression of New York City? Did you come away from New York City thinking, man, this place is sweet? Of course you did. Why? What's the difference? There's a huge, huge difference between visiting a place and doing fun touristy things for a week versus actually living that way day in and day out and living the life of a normal citizen. The American, and I'm not insulting Americans, it's very common. Other countries do this too. But as an American, if like at Christmas time, we went to Germany and France. Remember, we went to Germany and France. Well, did I experience life as a German citizen? No. We were on the Rhine River, stopping by these pretty little river villages. Hey, can I have a German beer and a bratwurst? And then afterwards, I get right back on the boat and cruise up to the next little river town. Oh, have a special pastry, Jesse. Am I living the life of a German citizen? Do I have an accurate view on what it's like to be a German citizen because I did a week-long river cruise in Germany? I don't have any idea what it's like to be a real German citizen. We went to Paris when it was done because I wanted to see Paris. I've always wanted to see Paris. And I think we were there for two or three days. And we stayed in a pretty nice hotel. And we were down by the Louvre and all the artsy-fartsy crap in Paris. And so we'd walk out of our hotel and we'd walk down and there's a wonderful little artist and there's a restaurant right here next door. And it's very nice. And everyone was very polite. Now, do I know what it's like to live in Paris? I don't have any idea. None. I visited for a weekend. This is what we do when it comes to Europe. We visit, and it gives us a false sense of what it's like to live there. We're not living there. We're visiting there. Now, I said all that to say this. I do acknowledge there are some things that are better. Our food really is poison here. It really is. With the preservatives and everything we put in our food, food really does, you can taste the freshness, you can taste the difference over there. They're not as pilled out as we are because the big pharma companies aren't really allowed to do what they're allowed to do there. That said, there's no place like home. Believe me, you'd move there, and in a year, you would miss the United States of America. Visit, have fun, enjoy yourself, enjoy the bratwurst, have a beer, but then come back home. All right? All right. We'll be back.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it! Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast or on the iHeart Radio app.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for 30 minutes, I dive into three stories in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about, or I do a stat deep dive. Sometimes I create my own stats. It gets weird. It's now your go-to podcast for staying up to date and in the weeds with Major League Baseball. No topic is off limits or too small. Bad umpires, great pitcher-catcher duos, new rules, old rules, three things that I want to talk about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.